Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, consider more fun, more fitness, and more relaxation for much less with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas. Now with up to $2,000 off with their global sales event this month. Now, it's more than a hot tub. It offers hydrotherapy, comfortable seating, and a spacious swimming area for convenient exercise. Now, it's built right here in the U.S. Just go to masterspas.com. You can get up to $2,000 off. Make sure to use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. Exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand that I trust, masterspas.com.
Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, we obviously now have been spending a lot of time discussing the raid at Mar-a-Lago. But more importantly, as I laid out on TV last night, as I've been laying out in the last hour, this is not just a Donald Trump problem. You know, you have people like Peter Strzok, you know, a guy that says to his girlfriend, lover, Lisa Page, when she asked if Donald Trump could ever get elected in 2016, we're not going to let that happen. How do you make such a proclamation that he's never going to be president? We'll stop it. And they did everything they could do to tip the scales on an election in this country, and none of them have been held accountable. The FBI has had Hunter Biden's laptop, which we know has evidence of crimes on it. That also implicates the big guy, Joe Biden, your president. And they've done nothing with that laptop for 2 years. You know, we know in the case of Hillary Clinton, I mean, it gets interesting. You know, her house was never raided in Chappaqua. She mishandled classified information, 33,000 emails deleted by Bleachbit, aides destroying, you know, iPhones and Blackberries with hammers and removing SIM cards. The Clintons don't get raided. These FBI, you know, upper echelon people that abuse their power, that are corrupt, they don't get raided. Hunter doesn't get raided, but Paul Manafort got raided, pre-dawn raid, you know, over a FARA violation and a tax violation. You know, these are mere process crimes. You're not talking about dangerous drug dealers or cartel members or mobsters, but his pre-dawn raid, guns drawn, you know, guns pointed at his head and his wife's face. Paul Manafort, more than anybody, is now telling his story. His book is released today. It's called Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, But Not Silenced. You can get it in bookstores all around the country as of today. It's on Amazon.com. We have a link on Hannity.com. I couldn't put the book down. I've finished it. I read it cover to cover. And Paul Manafort joins us now. Sir, how are you?
Good, Sean. Thank you for having me on the show again.
You know, your case is almost, you became almost like the canary in the coal mine. I know you probably don't like to think of your life like that, but it kind of has been, you know, the example of where this, where when you have a politicized justice system, a dual justice system, unequal justice under the law, you know, what happened to you is just basically a preview of coming attractions.
Well, that's exactly right, Sean, and I talk about that in the book. I mean, the deep state is not just a danger to people like President Trump or those who support him actively like I did. It's a danger to Americans everywhere. And in the book, I talk about that because I was able to, I wrote the book, including the first year of the Biden administration, because I thought it was important to carry the messages of the abuses and the weaponization of the justice system, not just through the end of the Trump term, but into what happens if he's not president and if the woke left does take power. And it's a scary thought because this two-tiered justice system that you're seeing now is exactly a consequence of the dangers of the deep state. The Mueller investigation, you know, and its illegitimacy, its abusive tactics, you know, its obsession with getting Donald Trump. They weren't obsessed with me. I was a means to the end. And in the book, I walk through the details of what Mueller was trying to do, not to, just to me, but to get me to give him Donald Trump. He had Andrew Weissman had his theories on Trump's guilt as far as being connected to Russia. They were crazy theories. He had no motive. He had no link to Russia. So Weissman just made them up. And I walked through all of that in detail from my 50 hours of conversations with Weissman that I was forced to have with Weissman. And what you're seeing now with the raid on the president's home is the natural extension of where they're going, you know, because they can't afford to have Donald Trump come back.
So your history is pretty amazing, actually, when you look at your background. I mean, you were brought in as a convention coordinator for Gerald Ford. That was being challenged in 1976 by Ronald Reagan. You worked for George Herbert Walker Bush in 88. You worked for Bob Dole. You've worked for a lot of you worked on a lot of political or presidential campaigns at a very high level. And then in the off season, if you will, you did what people like John Podesta do, correct me if I'm wrong, or James Carville do, or any one of these former Clintonites do. And that is you bring your political expertise and you're brought in to advise on foreign countries' political campaigns or other work. Is that true?
I did campaigns all around the world, but usually I would include in my team active Democrats as well, consultants, because when you're across the ocean, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. And there are, believe it or not, some Democratic consultants who care about our country and care about the foreign policy of other countries as relates to our country. And so we, in the case of Ukraine, which became sort of the focus because of its linkage to Russia, I had a team of Democrats who were very experienced, very seasoned, and very involved. None of them were even looked at by Weissman because they couldn't help him get Donald Trump.
A big part of the charges against you were FARA violations, making false statements, tax issues, et cetera, rather than go through the minutiae of that. People can read about that in the book. I want to talk more about the actual dealings that you had with Mueller's team. And more specifically, you know, the New York Times labeled Andrew Weissman Mueller's pit bull, and you dealt with him directly. Everything that I read about this guy just reeked of prosecutorial abuse to me. Sidney Powell wrote a whole book about it, License to Lie, and he was prominently featured. Tell us about that experience. Now, this is when you were already arrested. You're in prison. You're in isolation. You spent 9 months in solitary confinement, and they start talking to you to try to get you to cut a deal with them, correct?
Correct. They thought when I said I didn't want to go to trial a second time, because I could not get a fair trial. I mean, the jury was going to be composed of people from the Washington, D.C. 2 weeks after the four-week trial I had in Virginia. There was not one person who was objecting about Paul Manafort.
Yeah, by the way, what percentage of the vote did Donald Trump get in D.C.?
Exactly. Exactly. So I knew I couldn't get a fair trial. And I go through some of the reasons for that, including the questionnaire that we asked. Normally you have 30, 40 people at the most be voir dire to be a juror. I had 120. I found one person in our questionnaire who could have been objective. Literally over 90 people said they hated Donald Trump and they hated me because of that, of him. So the point is, I was not going to get a fair trial. in the second trial. And I had a judge who could have been at the prosecutor's table in Amy Berman Jackson. So I cut a deal to just stop, not to give up anything, but to stop.
Point, I guess, you cut your losses. You know you have no shot at winning.
I couldn't win, and they were going after my kids' assets, and I tried to protect some of those assets, and I was able to get that done. But I never expected them to like what they heard from me because I was going to tell the truth, and they didn't want to know what the truth was. Weissman had his own theories. Weissman thought, and I go through this in great detail in the book, that Trump and Stone and Manafort were the key to proving Russian collusion, that Stone was dealing with WikiLeaks on the timing of the releases, and he was getting directions from Donald Trump, who was talking to me about making sure Russia understood the importance of it. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But through the course of the 50 hours, Weissman never presented, this is what I think, tell me if it's right or wrong. Weissman would ask me disparate questions in the course of the 50 hours, but I knew where he was going with the questions. And so I would answer things that were going to create the truth, not a mosaic that he wanted to create. And he had a crazy theory on what the motive was for Donald Trump. He even had the motive. And the motive was that Trump was going to let Vladimir Putin keep Ukraine. And because I knew Ukraine, I was part of that linchpin. And again, in the book, I go through the reality, Donald Trump was harder on Putin than Obama or now Biden when it came to
Ukraine. Oh, my God. I mean, Donald Trump was never giving a waiver to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and nor do I think that Ukraine would have been invaded had Donald Trump been president today.
You're 100% correct. You're 100% correct.
So there's one part of this, you know, you were in jail at the time, so we didn't talk, but I got to know you during the Trump campaign, and we often texted. And at one point, the judge just releases 1,200 of our text messages together. The funniest thing to me about it was fake news CNN and MSDNC, you know, start, you know, Hannity and Manafort said this, and they said this, and they said this. And their conclusion was, oh, my God, Hannity really believes this crap. It sounds like his opening monologue every night. Which to me was a compliment, and it made me think, well, yeah, I believe it. Do you guys not believe what you say? That's what I was thinking.
Well, in fact, I don't think they do believe what they say because
I guess not.
No, they knew on Russian collusion what we've now confirmed, which is that it was a Clinton generated narrative. I mean, the pieces were there. You know, and in the book, I mean, one of the things about having a book later in the process is a lot of what John Durham has done in his investigation, I was able to incorporate in the book, which actually puts some definitiveness to the whole Russia hoax. Because now we know by Clinton's own campaign manager's sworn testimony that she created the concept of the connection between Trump and Putin. Yeah, we also know now, thanks to Durham, and go through this in some detail in the book, that John Brennan, a few days after that, briefed Obama.
He did. Interestingly, don't trust it. This is a political document.
But you know what happened 2 weeks after that briefing? Crossfire Hurricane was greenlit by Peter Strzok and the FBI.
Peter Strzok, the same guy that said in August of 2016, we won't let that happen. That Peter Strzok, meaning he won't win. If you want the exact quote, I got it here in front of me. And he went on to say, we'll stop it, meaning him becoming president. And if your plan doesn't work, we've got an insurance policy. What, by the way, was Weissman asking questions about me? I've never even asked you that question.
Well, we hadn't talked. What you just said actually was very interesting because Weissman did take out some of these notes of ours or emails of ours and asked me about it. I said, well, what do you want to know about that? And so, well, why were you talking to him when he said, he's a friend of mine. But you said that there was no Russian collusion. Well, because there was no Russian collusion. And he was trying to get me to say that I was misleading you on Russian collusion.
I think it was me venting every night because I was so frustrated because the evidence was so overwhelmingly against their narrative. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN, our number. More with Paul Manafort. All right, more with Paul Manafort is with us. His book released today. It's in bookstores all around the country. Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, But Not Silenced. I don't think it could be a more timely book. Amazon.com, Hannity.com as well. I just can't believe, by the way, that you spent, how much time total did you spend in jail?
About 2 years. About 10 months in solitary and about 12 in
And the most fascinating part of the solitary we touched on last week, and by the way, we're talking to Paul Manafort. His book is Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, Not Silenced, in bookstores as of today. And I just want to ask, what you knew in the that if you told them what they wanted to hear, you were a free man or pretty close to a free man.
Well, I knew that they would go very easy on me, yes. I mean, would there have been superseding charges brought in this whole second trial? Probably not. I mean, they, when Gates cut his deal with Weissman, they his superseding charges were dropped, and they got him to plead to one count, and frankly, he never went to jail. And if I had given Trump like Gates gave them me, I'm sure I would have had the same result.
Yeah. Well, the book is phenomenal, and we've only really touched the surface of it. It's a page turner. There's no other way to put it. You're going to follow this story and say, wow, how did this happen in the U.S.? It's called Political Prisoner, Persecuted, Prosecuted, Not Silenced, Paul Manafort. His book in bookstores now everywhere as of today, Amazon.com, Hannity.com. Paul, sorry you had to go through all of that. I am glad you got pardoned. I'm glad you're free. And I wish you and your family all the best. And when people read your story, I want the rights for the made-for-TV movie, okay?
You got it, my friend.
You can't even make this up. It's sad that this is happening in our country. I'll say that. Thank you, sir.
Driving the liberals nuts. Sean Hannity is back on the radio right now.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Let's get to our busy phones. I know so many have so much on their minds, their hearts, their souls, things you want to talk about. Barbara is in South Carolina. By the way, where Joey's been hanging out. Joe Biden's been hanging out. What's up, Barbara? How are you?
I'm sorry I missed him. Not really. But thank you for having me today.
No, you're not. You're not sorry one bit, I can tell.
No, I am not. No, sir. I recently ran for Congress because I did, in the primary, I did not make it. I did very well. However, I've never had political ambition. But when I saw the communist tactics being used by the media and the left on American citizens, I didn't just panic a little bit. Because I came here 52 years ago with my dad and two siblings. Castro kept my mother for 23 years and three other siblings. Although I did not live under the rule of a communist tyranny, we were still affected by it. And so I'm not just a little bit sensitive to it. And so when what we are facing today is critical. And while we're looking at the symptoms of really the problem being communism, you know, I'm just, when I ran like my children's lives depended upon it. And I sounded the alarm. And my district is well aware of what's going on because I literally, for 16 months, knocked on over 70% of businesses, not just in several counties. We were 8 counties in the district, telling people this is communism. I wore out a pair of nurse's sandals, the cushioning. Because I saw AOC, she posted one, a pair of shoes that she said she wore out. And I said, if she could do it, so can I. And what I have to say is extremely important. And, you know, Sean, the unfortunate thing is that many people see what's going on, but yet they're not willing to believe that it's communism. And I encounter that so much and so often. And it was, I'm really, it's like, y'all, this is communism. And people want to call it socialism. And I refuse to do that because the root.
Listen, let me tell you what it is. It is statism. It is authoritarianism. It is climate change alarmism. It is rooted in New Green Deal socialism. It is everything that you've warned about. It is, you know, big government overreach. You know, it's a danger to freedom is what it's a danger to. It's a danger to liberty. And that's where we are right now.
Yes, we are. If you go to FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, you will see how much money China has paid our media. Millions, if not billions of dollars, because they have to report to FARA, Foreign Agent Registration Act.
Listen, not just media. They have paid off the Bidens themselves.
Absolutely.
They are now buying property, farmland, and ranches all around this country. They're buying them near military installations in this country. And we're allowing this to happen. You know, this is a society in decline. Can I give you good news, though? I mean, everyone always wants to know some good news, right? The good news is 18 months ago, it was not like this. 18 months ago, China wouldn't be doing what they're doing now. 18 months ago, Vladimir Putin would not have invaded Ukraine. 18 months ago, President Xi wouldn't be flying fighter jets over Taiwan and pulling all the crap he's been pulling.
How are we going to
get back to that? We can get back to that. But America's got to be able to stomach a strong president over this corpse, this weak, pathetic, decrepit, you know, cognitive mess of a president we now have.
And all the cheating. If they cheated, if China was willing to attack the world with their Wuhan virus, because that's, and I believe it was really an attack towards our president, Donald Trump, at the time, because he stood against them. If we read all the executive orders that he enacted to protect our country from China, and that's what propelled me into the race. When I saw the executive orders that he power grids from China here in the United States, people have no clue. And I presented these in forums. I presented these. People have no clue. But what I also found, Sean, is that people don't care, unfortunately. They're so concerned.
No, Americans care. Look, I feel pretty confident about the House. I am urging everyone in this audience to understand that to win the Senate, Republicans have to win every swing state. I think we'll win Florida. They've been destroying Herschel Walker with ads in Georgia that are so vile, so vicious.
Yes.
I'm not sure if he's going to be able to withstand the onslaught unless the people of Georgia just wake up and understand that. No, Herschel Walker played football for a lot of years and he suffered as a result of it. You get hit in the head that much, that often, at that level. You know what? He's admitted that he went through a rough period in his life and now they're using that against him. Bud in North Carolina, I think he's going to win, but he's got a very tight race there. Mehmet Oz is going up against a guy who's finally coming out publicly after a stroke and is clearly incapacitated to me, clearly is suffering the after effects of a significant, of cognitive event. I'll put it that way. I'll be charitable about it. And this guy's to the left of Bernie Sanders. I hope people in Pennsylvania see that. J.D. Vance, a tough race in Ohio. You've got Ron Johnson. They dumped $50 million on him. We've got to also win Missouri. We got to win in Nevada with Adam Laxalt. We got to win with Blake Master out in Arizona. We got to try and make a play in Colorado, make a play in Washington State and New Hampshire.
These Democrats, Socialists of America, with AOC and Rashida Tlaib, our members, they are spreading like cancer throughout our country, and people don't realize that. They are.
You know what, though? In less than 90 days, we'll start counting down the election next week, but in less than 90 days, you get to decide. We can take our government back, and that would be the big first step, getting the House and getting the Senate. And I only urge Republicans.
What about voter fraud? It is rampant.
A lot of states have made reforms, but not every state. I agree. It's a problem. We need election integrity measures in every state. I've spelled them out many times. I won't do it here. Let me move on, but I hear you. I know exactly what you're saying. You're not wrong, But, you know, let's use the power that we know that we do have in November. Republicans should be as energized as any election they've ever voted in my view. Anyway, Barbara, thank you. Mike is in Long Island. He's in New York. Mike, you're on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you?
Good, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. Mike from Long Island.
How you doing, Mike from Long Island? What's going on, man? I grew up in Long Island, too. I grew up in Franklin Square. Where'd you grow up?
Smithtown, born and raised here my whole life, 54 years old.
I know where you are, my friend. Glad you called.
Yeah, I just want to discuss the border. I mean, what is this administration doing with the border? What are they gaining from letting all these people into our country? I mean, do they think they're going to be able to vote for us one, you know, vote for presidency? I mean, what help me explain.
Listen, I think the Democrats have every intention of offering amnesty to people, and they're not enforcing our laws. Quite the contrary, they're aiding and abetting the law breaking. And my guess is at some point they will offer amnesty to people in the hopes that if you give something of amazing value to anybody, which would be American citizenship, and aid and abet them in breaking the law, not respecting our laws, sovereignty and borders, that they would think on paper, at least that they would probably become lifelong Democratic voters. That's what I think.
It's hurting our schools. It's hurting our hospitals. It's hurting the whole infrastructure. If these people are here illegally,
I mean, we got to pay for food, shelter, health care, housing, education for people. Look, I'm for legal immigration. I don't care where the hell you come from, but I want to check your background. In the middle of a pandemic, you need a health check. And the third thing you need to show is that you are financially able to care for yourself. And you won't be a burden on the American people because we can't afford it. Then welcome to America. And I don't give a damn where you come from, but we got to check you out. And we're not doing that right now.
I agree with you. And it's shameful that this is happening to this country. There's 4,000 people coming in today, you know, and now they're shipping them to New York City. And, you know, they're going to wind up in my backyard.
That's a genius move by Greg Abbott. I'm telling you. And David Patterson's a former New York City governor, I'm sorry, New York State governor, even said, wow, I got to give credit. the governor of Texas is brilliant. Governor of Texas is going to be reelected thanks to the help of New York City Mayor Adams. And New York City Mayor Adams and Muriel Bowser, oh, she wants to call on the National Guard because she has to deal with what Texas deals with every day. And Eric Adams is now dealing with what Texas and border states have to deal with every day, and they don't like it. Anyway, my friend, got a roll. It's a level of lawlessness I've never thought I'd see from a president at all. All right, back to our busy phones. Alan is in Houston, Texas. Alan, how are you? Thanks for checking in, my friend.
Hey, Sean, you're a great American, and I appreciate everything you do for us every day.
You too, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, I'm a contractor, and I do mostly remodeling, and I agree with you 100% that the housing market is about to go horribly south. But what I am noticing is that people are spending money on remodeling and improving the homes that they currently have. They're not going to, you know, bust it up to a 5.5 or a, you know, 6-point, you know, interest rate. They're going to protect the investment that they already have. And the other thing that I've noticed is that, you know, supplies that were allocated for new home builders are now coming onto the market because new home builders from my suppliers aren't actually, you know, holding those products for those guys. And so it's easier for me to actually get products right now and, you know, take care of my company.
Let me help you out by reading you a headline in today's New York Post, okay? It says, absolutely, housing recession is hitting home. I don't know if you listen regularly to the program, but I've been saying for months, wait till the housing market gets hit. That's next. And it says the U.S. housing market has plunged into a full-blown recession as tight-ended economic policy, surging expenses weigh on home builders. I said the first thing that's going to happen is home builders like yourself, that you guys, it's your home building is coming to a screeching halt with a few notable exceptions like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, the Carolinas, where people are moving to in droves. They're doing okay. They're going to survive this better than other states. And then sale of existing homes is going to slow down. Then home values are going to plummet dramatically. And it's going to price people out of the housing market. And it's not going to be pretty because people already saw their 401k and IRAs beaten down because of the Biden economy.
And, you know, Sean, I agree with you 100%. I'm not building new homes. I'm just remodeling people's existing homes. And I think that that's a viable market, at least with, you know, the company that I'm with. You know, I'm not a new home contractor. I'm just a remodeling, you know, siding, windows, roofing type of guy.
Yeah, look, that probably people that have had to be on a waiting list for a year to get something small done, they're going to now be able to get guys like you to do it. Things that you weren't able to get a contractor for, they'll be more readily available. I just happen to be lucky. I'm friends with all my contractor friends. I pay them well. They do a great job, and they're very, very accommodating to me, and I have a great relationship with them. I found the right people. But guys that were building homes are now going to go into your business, and that's going to eat away at some of your business. That's the next thing that's going to happen to you, which is unfortunate because that's how you put bread on the table, right?
That's probably the truest thing I've heard today. You know, I wish I was up in Long Island to be able to help you out, Sean, but, you know, Houston, Texas is still putting bread on my table.
Listen, you're going to fare better than other people in other states, I'll tell you that, because people in Texas, there's still a massive influx into Texas, people moving to Texas. That's not going to stop. I think you'll be okay. I mean, it may not be exactly what you want, but you're not going to be suffering like people in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California that are in the same business as you. I promise, okay?
A lot of things that I've been bidding lately have been people from California coming in and buying rental properties and just being out-of-state tenants. And
Wall Street is doing a lot of this now, and this has now become their new investment thing because the return on investment is pretty good. So look, whatever puts food on your table, you're going to work. If people, you want to work, you're an average American that wants to work hard, get a fair paycheck, and take care of business. I think you're going to be okay in Houston. I really do. All right, hang in there, buddy.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.